the beginning of this week's Seder, the Sicha being in Likutei Sichas Chelek Aleph on Vayakel. The beginning of this Seder, it says Vayakel Meishas Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael Vayemer Aleihem Eile Hadvarim Asher Tziva Hashem La'asis Eisam. Meisha gathered all the people, the Jews, and he said to them, these are the things that God commanded to do. Sheishas Yomim Tayosim Melocha, Uviyem Ashvi Yiyel Lechem Kedah, Shabbos Shabbosim, etc. 6 days you should do work, and on the seventh day should be holy, a Shabbos Shabbosim it should be. So there are a number of questions that need to be answered here, that are asked by the commentaries. First of all, what does it mean, Vayakel Moshe? Moshe gathered the people. All other commandments were given simply, directly. And Moshe said to the people, doesn't say that he first gathered them in order to say to them. Secondly, what are these things that Moshe gathered the people to tell them? What did he gather them for? It seems that he's gathering them to tell them about the laws of Shabbos. But the laws of Shabbos were already given in the Ten Commandments. And that's Eretz HaDibros. Number three, why does he refer to Shabbos as Shabbos Shabbosim, a double Shabbos? Number four, Rashi says, and the Gemara and Medrash and Zayah say the same, Rashi's quoting from the Gemara from Medrash and Zayah, that Vayakel happened, this gathering that Moshe made, happened the day after Yom Kippur, when Moshe came down off of Mount Sinai. Because after the Jews had made the golden calf, Moshe went back up the mountain for another 40 days and 40 nights, and when he came down 40 days later, it was Yom Kippur, the day after Yom Kippur. So there must be a connection between what Moshe did, the Vayakel, must be connected to Yom Kippur, to the forgiveness that comes on Yom Kippur, the forgiveness for the golden calf. So what is the connection there? So to understand this, we first have to explain the words of the sages, where it says that there's a difference between the word te'ose and ta'ase. Both mean to do, but te'ose means passive, doing passively, and ta'ase means active. Ta'ase means when you do something and you're absorbed in that activity, and te'ose means to do something without being absorbed, as if it's happening by itself. As it says that when Jews are fulfilling God's commandments, then God makes their work happen by itself. The Jew doesn't have to work hard, it happens by itself. That's concerning the blessing from heaven. But everything also must be translated into human activity. So the idea of te'ose, of doing something without being involved in it, refers to how we're supposed to go about the ordinary activities of life, pursuing a livelihood, making a living, and so on, that when we go to work in order to make money, it should be te'ose melocha, that's for 6 days of the week when we're involved in making a living, it should be without involvement. The mind and the heart should not be involved in the business and the activity, but rather it should be as if it's happening by itself. As it says, Yegia kapecha kiseichal ashrecha v'teidvach. If you work if you eat by the sweat of your brow, then you are blessed and things are good. And the explanation here is that if the Yegia, if the work that a person puts in order to make a living, in order to have what he needs to eat, that yegia, that work has to be kapecha, has to be only with your hands. Only the hands should be involved in your physical labors, but the heart and the mind and the head should be in Torah and mitzvahs even while you're doing the work. So then, when yegia is kapecha, when your efforts, when your work, your labor is only with the hands in order to eat, then, ashrecha v'teivlach. As the Gemara says, ashrecha, you'll be blessed in this world, v'teivlach, and it'll be good for you in the world to come. And that's also the meaning of te'ose melocha, that for 6 days we should do work, but it should be without an involvement. and that is that we are not involved in our business with our mind and with our heart. We do it only with our actions. And even in the actions, we do only what is necessary in order to create a vessel for God's blessings, but not more. Because the truth is, that the blessing of God is what provides a sustenance, and not the labor, it's the business itself. It's just that in order to receive God's blessings, there has to be b'chol ashetase, you have to create a vessel into which the blessings can be given. So you do only as much as the vessel needs in order to receive the blessing, but the heart and the mind are completely detached. He's not scheming in his business and so on. He's only doing what needs to be done and not more. The truth is that a person really shouldn't be allowed to do any kind of labor at all. Because since God fills the heavens and the earth, so God is present everywhere, so out of respect for the presence of God, the King of Kings, the Holy One, blessed be He, we really shouldn't be allowed to do any work at all. As is the case with a king, that in the presence of a king, you're not allowed to be involved in any kinds of activity. It's only that Torah tells us, gives us permission, and tells us to go to work, as it says, Sheishes Yomim Tavid, that you have to work for 6 days. So we go to work only by permission, by leave of the king. So it's understandable that if we do only what is necessary, for this we have permission, and that's kosher. But if we do more than is necessary, then we are acting out in front of the king, which is disrespectful to the presence of the king. But we need to understand, if in fact you're supposed to go about your labors only with your hands, why is it called labor in the first place? If you're not involved and your heart is not in it, why is it called labor? So the explanation is, as is known, that when a person does something that he enjoys, that he's excited about, then even if it takes a lot of energy and a lot of effort, and he becomes very exhausted, yet it is not considered labor because of the pleasure that he has. But when he does something that is not pleasurable, something that he doesn't enjoy, then even a little bit of work tires him out. It's a labor for him. It's exhausting. And the same is true here. When the person goes about his physical activities without great enthusiasm, because his mind and heart are elsewhere, then it is yagia, it drains him, even the little bit that he does, is called a yagia kapecha, because he is doing it as if he is forced. And even though he will use it for mitzvahs and he will include it in his life as a Jew, and he is doing it because God said to work during the 6 days, but since it is not directly involving a mitzvah, the study of Torah, he does it as if he is forced, and there's no enthusiasm to lighten the burden, and so it is considered a heavy burden. So this is the meaning of 6 days, te'ose melocha. For 6 days, work should happen. And on the seventh day, it is Shabbos Shabbosim, that in order to reach Shabbos, for Shabbos to be the way it needs to be, then during the 6 days, you have to be involved in your labors in a passive way, te'ose b'derech memela, without mind and heart involvement. And since the idea of Shabbos is that when Shabbos comes, all your labors are completed, you have no further needs, so if in the middle of the week he is involved and preoccupied with his mind and with his heart in the business, in the pursuit of the business, then when it comes to Shabbos and he wants to tear himself away, at least for 1 day, from this obsession and from this involvement in his business, and he wants to absorb he wants to get absorbed in Torah and in Tefillah in order to enjoy the godliness, the beauty of godliness, even then he is distracted by thoughts of business, the same thoughts that he is obsessed with during the week, and even worse, thoughts, unholy thoughts that even during the week he doesn't suffer from, doesn't have them. Because when you're not in control and you can't close the door of the mind, then all sorts of thoughts can come in, even the unwelcome and unbidden. And so when it comes to Shabbos, he really is not ready to be Shabbosic. But if during the week his labor is a passive one, te'osa melacha, then when it comes to the seventh day, he has Shabbos Shabbosim. Shabbos is pleasant and Shabbos is bright. And not only that, but he has a double Shabbos. Because if during the week he didn't obsess about his business, he didn't involve his mind and heart in the business, then even during the week he has a little bit of a Shabbos taste. So that when it comes to the seventh day, when it comes to Shabbos, he has a double Shabbos. And with this we'll answer also the other question, why is it that the commandment for Shabbos is mentioned here when it was already mentioned in the Ten Commandments? It's because here we're not talking about keeping Shabbos. Here we're talking about how to come to the Shabbos, how to prepare so that the Shabbos will be a Shabbos. And with this we'll also understand why the Yakil, the gathering, and the commandment of the 6 days came after Yom Kippur, when the sin of the ego was forgiven. The sin of the ego is Avodah Zarah. And Rambam says that Avodah Zarah, the people who believed in idols, knew that the stars and the sun and the moon were all created by God, but they gave the sun and the moon a certain amount of recognition and significance because of the effect that the sun and the moon has on the world. When in fact, the sun and the moon affect the world only the way an axe affects the wood in the hands of a woodchopper. So you don't thank the axe for chopping the wood. It is totally without will and without intention. It is a tool in the hands of the woodchopper. And the same is true with the sun and the moon. The effect that they have on earth is a passive one, not one that they can choose to do or not do. And therefore, all recognition should go to the Creator and not to the tool. Hasidus explains it on an even more subtle level, that when a person is obsessed with business and is consumed by the schemes of business, that is a subtle form of idolatry. Because he is giving the business, the world of business, the practice of business, a significance beyond what it deserves. He is believing that although the bracha, the blessing, comes from God, the profit, the success will come from God, yet he believes that the way that he goes about the business, the style of the business, and the amount of effort he puts into the business, that these are all significant features, and that they somehow also play some part in his success. And so he puts his mind into it, and putting your mind into the business is similar to bowing to the business. You're humbling yourself to the demands of the business, and that's like bowing to an idol. And that's giving significance to a tool instead of giving the significance to its master. And so when you do work during the 6 days with an involvement, with being consumed in the work, it's because you're giving significance to the laws of the business world and are bowing to those laws. But when you realize the truth that the business, the style, the manner, the whole thing is only an axe in the hands of the Creator, then his mind and his heart is not in the business, and then the blessing from God comes automatically, effortlessly, passively. This gives us another reason, another insight into why we should go about our business passively, as if it's happening by itself, because that in turn brings the blessing from God, that God gives us his blessing in the full measure without effort, the derech memelet. And so Moshe gathered the people on the day after Yom Kippur, because the removal of the sin of Avodah Zarah, the way to get rid of this particular kind of Avodah Zarah, is by telling people that during the 6 days of the week, your work should be effortless without involvement. This idea that your efforts should be without involvement of mind and heart can also be understood on a much higher level in the world of godliness. In the service of God, there's also a way of fixing the sin of the ego without involvement. The Mishnah says that we should not be like servants who serve the master for the sake of a reward, but we should be like the servant who serves without the sake of a reward. When a person studies Torah because it appeals to him, it gives him pleasure, he has an enjoyment, it's sweet to him, or he does mitzvahs because they feel right, that is the reward. That's doing mitzvahs for a reward. But the ideal way of doing mitzvahs is without the reward. Not because of the pleasure, and not because of the appeal that the mitzvah has, but rather because it is what God wants. To do it for God and not for oneself. So that's called doing a mitzvah b'derech memela, without personal involvement. It is an effort, it's a labor, since he's not doing it with his own personal pleasure. As we said before, when there is a lack of pleasure, then it is an effort. On the other hand, it is without an involvement. Now, when a person is doing his mitzvahs and studying Torah and living like a Jew because of the feelings of pleasure, he can sometimes come to the mistaken conclusion that all this goodness is coming from himself, because he is a refined character, because he has a good mind, and so on. That's why he learns, that's why he gives tzedakah. But when you do the mitzvah without involvement, te'osa, passively, without involving your personal experience of the mitzvah, when he does it for God's sake, then he knows that it's not coming from him, but it is coming from above. And as the Gemara says, that God asks us to open up the door for him, the width of the head of a needle, the point of a needle. V'ani eftach lachem kipischei shel ulam. And then God says, I will do the rest. I will open the door as wide as a palace gate. Which means that when the person does just a little bit, he opens up just a crack. The rest, V'ani eftach, God does the rest. So he knows that it's coming not from himself, but from God. And even the little bit, the opening up, the starting, the preparing, even that can also be attributed to God rather than to himself. And that's why it's called Bederech Memela. That's why it's called passively, without involvement, because he is not considering it his effort. He doesn't attribute the success of the mitzvahs, of the learning, to his efforts, but rather to a blessing from above. And so it is also with the fixing, the correcting, of the sin of the ego. As we've said many times, that the sin of the ego brought back, reintroduced the unholiness of the sin of the tree of knowledge, of the Eitz Hadas. Because when Adam and Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas, they brought a certain unholiness into the world. At the giving of the Torah, that unholiness was removed, and then by making the golden calf, that unholiness came back. So the sin of the Eitz Hadas was a result of taking oneself seriously. As it says, that the woman saw that the tree was good to eat, and that it is pleasurable to the eyes. By feeling the enjoyment, by sensing the enjoyment, that brought the sin. So how do you fix this? You fix it by yegiya b'derech hamelech, rather than doing mitzvahs because of how it feels, because of the pleasantness of the mitzvah. There has to be kabbalas oil, because from pleasantness of mitzvahs you can easily slip into the pleasantness of that which is not mitzvahs. And so instead of going by how it feels to you, instead of attributing it to your faculties and to your perceptions, you go instead, the derech memela, you let it be the way God wants it. And with this we'll understand why here Moshe had to gather the people rather than simply stating the commandments. Since it was the day after Yom Kippur, and Yom Kippur was the fixing, the correcting of what was damaged by the eagle, so he had to bring the world back together again. Because originally, the whole world was one united property belonging to one God. It was a Rishus HaYochid, it was a private domain. It was God's dwelling place. When the sins were introduced, it became scattered. This was holy, this was unholy, there was division. And that's why, as a result of Yom Kippur, Vayakel Moshe, Moshe gathered the world back together again, bringing the world back to a oneness. And that's why it says, these are the things that you have to do. The first thing is, 6 days you work. That refers to the world of space. And he said it to all the children of Israel. That is the soul of the world. And 6 days you should work, and on the seventh is Shabbos. That represents time. So, Olam, Shana, Nefesh, space, time, and souls makes up the whole world. And so by bringing them all together, Moshe was creating a oneness to replace the division that had been caused by the sin. And when we do this with the power that we have from Moshe that exists in every one of us, then we fulfill the ultimate purpose of creation, that instead of having a chet where the world is damaged, we have the world in its completeness and its perfection. And that will be realized with the coming of Mashiach, at which time we will have the Beis HaMikdash, the third Beis HaMikdash, and as the Gemara says, we know how to keep Shabbos because of the law of the work that was done in the Beis HaMikdash. So we will have the Beis HaMikdash and the laws of Shabbos in their completeness, b'mheira b'yameinu. In the Pasuk Ela Hadvarim, the Gemara says that from this we learn what we are not allowed to do on Shabbos. The 39 labors that are prohibited on Shabbos, we learn that from the things that needed to be done and that were done, the 39 labors that were done in the construction of the Mishkan. And the Gemara says that labor performed in the Mishkan, that's called a labor. And that's why it is prohibited on Shabbos. The fact that the 39 labors that are prohibited on Shabbos are derived from the things that were done in the Mishkan tells us that there is an internal connection, an essential connection between them. It is not merely a coincidence that the 39 things that are prohibited on Shabbos happen to be the 39 things that were necessary in the construction of the Mishkan. Their connection is twofold. First of all, where do all the things that we do during the week, where do they all come from? Why do they exist? They exist because they are necessary in the Mishkan. And from the holiness of the Mishkan, they eventually devolve into worldly activities for the 6 days of the week. Secondly, because the purpose and ultimate achievement of all these labors is to make a Mishkan, therefore when we do them in the course of the 6 days of the week, their purpose is also to create a Mishkan, to make this world a Mishkan, a dwelling place for God. With this we'll be able to understand why it is that we're allowed to do labor in the first place. and that when we do labor, we actually daven less because we are busy with our work. So how can this be? According to what we're saying, since the purpose of all malacha, of all labor during the week, is to make a mishkan, so it is in fact a mitzvah, and a person has to be constantly devoted to mitzvahs, so that it's a mitzvah even during the week to be involved in your labors, since that is part of making the mishkan, of turning the world into a dwelling place for God. The difference is only that the mishkan is in fact a dwelling place for God, while the rest of the world is a potential dwelling place for God. So we have to take advantage of every moment to work and be involved in our physical activities in such a way to realize the potential of this world and to make this world a dwelling place for God in the actual, by seeing in everything that we do an element of godliness and revealing that potential, so that we will have an actual godliness, that the whole world becomes God's private dwelling place.